Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. All right, 602. Let's go to Cliff Webb in Corpus. Cliff, good morning.
Mickey, what's up, buddy?
Man, not a lot. Not a lot, buddy. Just watched a video. A listener sent me a shark encounter he had. I think he's in West Bay, look like. And
I hope it wasn't on him.
Messing with him.
Oh, my God, man. God. I've had some big bull trout messing with us.
Boy, you got them, man.
Dude, I didn't even want to send you those videos. It was so stupid how many big fish we caught this week. I'm just trying to settle down a little bit and try to get some rest. But we had what I called that last Monday, Magic Monday. Magic Monday was something you ain't never seen. It was the best day I've had all year. You know, it was better than the day we caught the 914. It was just off the chart. And I had some of your old buddies, too. Kelly didn't make it, Kelly Rising, but Mike and Jimmy and those guys made it down. You fish those guys a lot. You know how good they are, you know. And they bring a couple of their buddies with them. And Monday was the only day, Mickey, the wind was 4 to 10 miles an hour all day long. You know, and I've been chomping at the bits to get down on these deep rocks. You know how long I've been waiting. I've been waiting weeks, you know. You miss that window.
You know they're living there. They're right there right now.
And you just have no pressure.
Conditions to get to them.
You know, and I tried to go in there before and like to crash the boat in the rocks, you know, but these fish are in 6 foot of water. And they're suspended. These fish are in the upper column right now. It's suspended. We got a lot of mullet on top of the water, a lot of pogies on top of the water. And I get in there about 7 o'clock in the morning and – when I start pulling in the shoreline, I just start smelling. It smells like the best smell ever. You know, just trout everywhere.
Watermelon
you know?
City.
Oh, my God. And those schools of mullet were just, you know, they were tight balls of mullet on top of the water. Mm-hmm. Just things blowing up on them, you know. So I dropped the trolling motor down. And the time I dropped the trolling motor down, I told those guys, now, look, we're going to count fish here today. I want everybody to count their own fish. And, they started biting at daylight. They never slowed down until we actually had to leave at 3 o'clock. And we caught 126 big trout in one day, Mickey. And that is a fact. I mean, I think Mike caught the most with 47, but I only caught 5 fish because I could never pick up my rod. It was constantly snapping the bogey grip on big lips and, you know, making leaders. And, you know, I just never had time, but I was having so much fun. It was so good. My phone was charged all the way when I pulled off the charger Monday morning, and it was almost dead. When I got 2 or 3 o'clock, I shot somebody slow mo video. Oh my God, it was incredible.
Awesome.
We'd double, triple hooking them on top water. I was zooming in on the top water and watching them smoke it in slow motion. It was just stupid. You know, I was going, this, you know, can't get any better. Then Mike reels in this fish next to the boat. He's probably 16 inches long, and it's like a shark circling, this big trout circling that shark. And circling that trout, and he reaches up and bites him in the head, Mickey, and puts these giant finger fang marks like Dracula on top of his head. So you just see these holes on top of his head. And we, you know, of course, the fish lets go of his shakes, and we reel the fish, and that fish is almost dead. I mean, he just smoked him. I couldn't believe that bite. See, that
boys,
thing. It was like a snake.
I think we need to be throwing a little bit bigger topwaters here.
Almighty,
you got 16-inch topwaters? Boy.
Oh, well, they did. They threw some of those giant swim baits, and they hooked up. You know, Jimmy was using mono, and he hooked something big on that swim bait. And of course, it got on the rocks on us, but we don't know. But I'm going to tell you what, dude, that was a – and these fish were 7 – I got those aerial shots of those 7-pound fish jumping like tarpon. Did you see that? I think I sent you one of those.
Oh, yeah. I saw that one. I said, look at that.
It's like tarpon, man. They're coming out of the water 3 feet. And I'm going to try to cut some of this video and I got so many slow-mo videos. But some of those trout were coming up like tarpon. And the coolest one, I don't know if I sent you this one. So it eats a bone super spook about 50 yards out. It smokes it.
Oh,
and
I
the
love
entire time
that big spooks, man.
Yeah. And that thing is jumping like a greyhound all the way to the boat trying to get rid of that super spook. And then he runs up to my boat and takes his head and beats the super spook up against the side of my boat. It's just banging, knocking. I go, he's going to break the hull here. And he goes all the way. He don't scratch it one time. He goes all the way down the hull of the boat, just scratch it, bam, 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 with his head. And then he takes off and does a triple Lindy, like a three jumps.
I'm watching
that video right
now while you're talking about it on my phone.
You see it right now where he's banging his head, you know?
Yeah.
God, he's foaming at the mouth, banging his head.
Look how beautiful that grass floating in the water, and then the water's clear, and that big trout just swimming through there in slow motion.
You know, I'm watching all this.
Better than that. I don't care who you are. If big trout don't excite you, you don't have a pulse. You're already dead and don't know it.
I know. And Michael and those guys and Jimmy, you know, we had an incredible trip in the winter with them in February. We smoked a big fish in February. And I said, you guys are my lucky charm. And Kelly couldn't come. I think Kelly's daughter was getting married or something. He couldn't come. And, you know, because, you know, Kelly holds that record in Sabine Lake. He's just an unbelievable fisherman.
Right.
But
yeah, he's
all the guys he hangs with are good. Yeah. And all the guys, Mike and Jimmy and, you know, and all those guys are Juan, those guys and Tyler.
Like
those guys
nice
are just really
slick
good
in the foreground of this video, too.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the one I want to send you is, so I said, okay, look, guys, all you guys fire those topwaters out, and I'm going to zoom in on them and see how many blowups we get. So I'm zooming on the middle one, and the right one goes, ooh, you just hear this big grenade go off. And so I zoom over to him and see the big wake, and boom, the one goes off the lip. I zoom back over here. I just wasn't on the right one. Finally, I got on the right one where you see the trout come up and just put his mouth around the topwater and suck it in. You know, it's just like, oh, my God. Anyway, I'm trying not to get too excited.
How calm it was in that video.
That's the only day, in 3 weeks it was like that. And so, of course, I got him on Tuesday, and we're going in, and it was just like the best day. Magic Monday was just incredible. I know we're never going to beat this. I mean, this is incredible. It don't get any better.
No.
And so that night, the wind started humping again. I get up and sustained at 22 knots. I'm going, hello. So I said, we ain't going back. There's no way we can get in the middle of the bay with all them deep rocks, with all this surf, you know.
Yeah.
So I did, you know, look, guys, I know after yesterday, I nothing
we're
I can do.
Yeah, take today is going to be kind of a letdown, but, you know.
It was. And so we get up super shallow, like, I mean, calf deep. I mean, super shallow. And my catch is like 21, 22 fish first weight, and we catch some 4 and 5 pounders. And they're just like, okay, it's all right. You know, my one day, if the wind's blowing this good, we're catching fish like this, but you guys are spoiled. I mean, it's just, you know, unbelievable. But it was super windy, and we still caught them. We had to go to so much grass and water, we caught most of our things on Little John's. That Little John XL watermelon red was hot. Man, they were just smoking it. But we still caught probably 45 or 50 fish that day. You know, wasn't 126, but it wasn't bad, you know.
Well, that's still a great day. I mean,
yeah,
seriously.
Yeah, it's just, it was just nuts. I still hadn't got over Monday. I just keep
Man,
thinking about how
was
incredible
so clean it was. And green. It's hard to believe it cleaned up that fast after that blow, man.
It does. It cleans up so fast. It'll clean up in 6 or 8 hours because we have so much grass and stuff.
Right.
You know, it's just amazing.
It just filters it out, you know?
Yeah. You know? And it's just absolutely nuts how fast that happened.
And, well, the sun was out, water was calm, and you can see all the reflections of the sun hitting that trout's back with all the purple and blue and all that incandescent. Just doesn't get much prettier.
I got this one video. It was too long to send to you because I was videoing so much. I was videoing a trout to the right, and both my guys hook up on the left side of me, and one of them's real close to the boat, and he's bringing it up, and another trout comes in with him. The other guy hooks it, and both those trout are coming up at the same time in the video, shaking their heads, blowing water, spitting stuff up. You know, it was just like, oh, what am I seeing over here, you know? And it was this goal that Mike caught one about 7 pounds on a topwater that just, I mean, that thing sounded like a grenade going off. It was 28 inches and only weighed 7 pounds. It should have weighed a little more, but she'd already spawned out. Anyway, it was just one of those days. I just can't believe what I saw. You know, just like this is back like the old days. And Mickey, these are not little trout. I'd say that 2/3 of these trout were over 4 pounds. I mean, we were catching 4 to 6s and occasional 7, but these were, and the only reason they didn't weigh more, a lot of them were spawned out. It's about probably 2/3 of them were spawned out. You know, they were skinny, but they still got that big old yellow mouth. And the cool thing, the water was 79 degrees, 80 degrees. They were still hot. They were so active. Now, we do this when the water gets 90. They're not going to fly up in the air like that. They're not going to get airborne like they're doing. But they're getting
airborne.
I can't
believe, 7 pounders catching that much air like that.
I had one that did a complete 360. Sideways in the air. I got to send you that one. Wrap the line up in the top water. I mean, why are they doing that? I don't know. But and these guys are keeping the rod down. They're really good fish. It ain't like we're, you know, when I want to make a video sometime, I'll keep my rod up high and make them jump. These guys are trying not to lose them. They're still flying out of the water. It was just nuts, man. God, just get so excited thinking about it. And then the rest of the week wasn't that bad. So I'll tell you about the rest of the week. The rest of the week was pretty amazing too, man. So, Fred comes down, you know, and he wants to fish with
Fred.
Oh, I love Fred and Raymond. And so Fred invited my friend Greg to go with us, and Barry got to go. So it was like a bunch of my friends in the boat yesterday.
Right.
It was just so cool, you know. And so we go down there. Of course, it's, we tried to go Thursday, but Thursday was, I mean, like 40 knots in the morning. We couldn't go, you know.
I've looked at that going on there, and y'all had some wind Thursday morning.
Oh, my God. So we pulled the plug on, you know, he's going to fish 2 days. I said, hey, man, I'm not going to kill you guys. You want a boat fish, so let's do it, you know. And I pull into this area where I caught the fish on Tuesday with these guys, these 4 and 5 pounders, and the bait's still in there, but just tons of grass. We'd hardly fish it, you know, just tons of grass. And we get in there, and I put Greg and Barry out in the water, you know, with top water, and then Fred and Raymond and I just drifted, and we'd come to a power pole, pothole and power pole down. And Greg are catching fish back there that were too big. You know, he couldn't. Raymond wanted 3 fish for ceviche. We're catching 2 fish that are too big. I just love it. You know, and so we catch some fish in there. We catch some big old bull reds, like 32 inches in there and stuff, and catch some fish. But it wasn't just really good. So I pulled the plug on it, and I go somewhere I haven't seen fish all year, Mickey. There was nothing in there. But the wind was getting up, and I wanted to check it. So I pull back around in there, and I go, man, there's a bunch of pogies in here. Look at all these shad in here. I pull down. Barry and Greg pop out of the water with top water, and we start drifting with the Chaldemore hitting potholes, and Katie bar the door. It was on. I look up, and my boys in the water are catching too big a trout. They're all over 5 pounds over there. And Greg downsized to this little bitty super spook, that little tiny one.
Yeah, Spook Junior. Yeah.
Yeah, he was smoking the pigs on it. I just look back, and
that's a
all
good
I do
bait.
Is my,
that's an underrated oh, bait, man. That little Spook Junior. I've caught some toads on that bait before.
Yeah, and Greg uses a lot in the surf. He smokes them in the surf with it. But I look around, and my boys are circling the wagon. They're just going in circles. I know those are big fish, and we're catching up to 24 inches out of the boat. We're catching 24 inches out of the boat. You know what I mean? And we got his fish, you know.
Right.
So it was just absolutely stupid fishing. God.
Awesome. All right, let me knock his break out.
All right, buddy.
Come back and fire me up
okay,
even
man.
More. All right.
All right.
Well, folks, are you looking for the ultimate outdoor adventure? Welcome to Rusty Hook Ranch, a premier hunting and fishing destination in Matagorda, Texas. You know, whether after waterfowl, quail, thermal hog, or even alligator hunts, Rusty Hook Ranch has it all. And don't forget about their top-tier Matagorda Bay fishing charter. So bring your friends, your clients, let the boys at Rusty Hook Ranch take care of everything for you, from five-star lodging, skeet shooting and sporting clays, to a fully stocked bass pond. So your weekend here will be one you won't soon forget. And if you need a place for team building and family reunions, weddings, or other events, Rusty Hook Ranch can sleep large groups of up to 40 and host events for up to 300 people. So why wait? Experience the best of Texas at Rusty Hook Ranch. Book your adventure today at RustyHookRanch.com. That's RustyHookRanch.com. And please tell them Captain Mickey sent you. Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. 619 here in the Bayou City. All right, Cliff, we're back.
All right, buddy.
During that break, I was watching these videos this listener sent, Jimmy G. I mean, this was a big old blackback bull shark, man. I mean, he wouldn't leave this guy alone. He said this
he was in the waiting with him or waiting with the
yeah,
shark?
Yeah, waiting, and he didn't even have any fish on the stringer. The shark was after him.
Oh,
said
the
shark wouldn't leave him alone. He was fishing West Bay, and I could tell by the beach house in the background. But
how do you get away from him? What do you do? Man, God.
Well, he waded all the way back to the boat. He said this fish came at him like 11 times, and he had no fish on his stringer. And
I mean, God.
And he slapped his rod on the water once, and that thing blew up and muddied all the water up around him. And, I mean, he was wading with his brother. His brother never, you know.
Mm.
Never saw him, but he was there. But
oh, my God.
He said while he was wading back to the boat, he tried to come up behind him again, so I turned around and stopped, and then he took off. And that, yeah, I bet that was a long wade back to the boat with a bull shark tailing you. I had one do that to me in a tournament. I tell you, it was old Bob Seeley's, that big trout splash or whatever he had back in the day, you know. And
yeah.
The weigh-in was down at Tiki in Galveston, but I was way up in the top end of Trinity Bay, so I couldn't go. Once I committed, I'd just get my three biggest fish on a stringer and then put them in a live well and then take off for Galveston to weigh them in for that hourly. And, you know, I didn't get to fish but a half a day. But I had a bull shark that morning. After I got my three big ones on a stringer that I was going to weigh in, well, this bull shark started harassing me. I got up in knee-deep water. He was rubbing his belly on the bottom trying to get out. I said, well, he wants a fish. So I had to pick the fish up out of the water and hang him over my back and walk back to the boat. He followed me like a puppy dog all the way back to the boat. Wouldn't Ooh. Leave me alone.
Man.
I mean, his head had to be a foot wide or better, or 18 inches.
You know, that make me think, yeah, reach up and bite your calf. You know, I've seen that. God,
bite your head. That one would have bit my leg off, and I got big legs.
You know, the only time I have to deal with them is in the surf, you know, surfing or fishing the surf.
I never see them in the bay. Oh, they get up in here big time.
We just don't see them. We have to deal with some jackfish, you know, and there's a few alligator gar showing up in the back of the bay, which is kind of weird, you know. But, man, we just don't have any shark issues. You know, our stingray, you know, I may see two stingray all year. You know, it's just crazy.
Well, I think your water's so salty it deters that, because bull sharks, they like fresher water, lower salinities.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they come straight to the top end of Trinity Bay. Well, they're above I-10 right now, and the river's running like crazy.
Mm.
Fresh water doesn't even bother them.
Tell you what, thank God I don't have those guys, man. I got the dolphin eating trial, but if I had bull reds, dolphin, and sharks, we might cut the numbers down here a little bit. But that's crazy, buddy.
That's what I used to hate about Wade and Rockport, man. You'd finally get on a good school of fish, and the dolphins would pull in on you, and just it was crazy. You're just feeding them, throwing those fish back.
I've seen that here
especially
too. They come
around
up in
Mud Island or up there by, what's that place called? Well, anyway, there in Long Reef, all those areas down that Aransas Bay shoreline, you can't get out of the dolphins. They're pests.
Well, you saw what happened in the land cut when we were fishing the cut and notched those dolphins. You can't put them up on the edge or nothing. You got to move 4 or 5 miles.
No, you got to run and find another.
You got to run.
And here they come. I think they got a tracker on your boat.
Well, you know, I think of this, Mickey. I've been fishing that land cut for 45 years. I've wore out 40 trolling motors. I wore out 40 boats. I mean, I've been fishing it. Doug and I fish it a lot, you know, and we never, ever saw any dolphin in there. Never. And until the last 5 years. And then what's happening now, of course, the bait fishermen anchor up and they just swarm their boat and, you know, they eat every fish they throw back. The only thing that I have advantage on that,
soaking croakers that day?
Yes.
Remember that
oh
boat
God.
That was anchored up? Yeah. I mean, all they were doing was feeding the dolphins.
Yeah. And they'll set the dump. That's what's so good about the lures. You can, you know, if you got a sock out, a drift thing, you pull it up and move, you know, 2 or 3 miles, and you'll save some fish, because the amount of fish we have, you know, you can definitely find another pot of fish. It's not a problem.
You know, well, I tell you, if I was a trout living down your way, I would be on the bank every day.
I tell you what, buddy, I'd take my chances with the birds and stuff up there in a foot of water,
I'm
wouldn't
you? I'm telling you, rattlesnakes and birds and whatever, I would not live in open, deep water there with the way the dolphins are. It's absolutely nuts.
It's funny how the shallower I get right now, the bigger trout I catch. I say, look, man, we can sit here in this waist-deep water and catch 3 to 6 pounders till your arms fall off. But if you want to catch a monster, get up in that calf water and make some long casts and casts and casts. You'll catch something really special. You know, that's what's good. And, that, you know, we were talking about this the other day, how everybody thinks that those fish live on the shore. They think all those fish are in 10% of the water. What about the other 90% of the bay that has fish in and deep water structure and all that? And this is what's so cool, is a lot of the people stay up on the shore even when the fish have moved out. And that's a big advantage of having a trolling motor and understanding structure, you know, what they want. Right now, what they're doing is the perch and stuff are now big enough. You know, they're coming in, and they got a lot of color. So a lot of these fish, they got mullet, the shad, and the perch around the rocks. But they got the structure to ambush. They don't have to move as much. When you're a predator and you're in the flats, you got to run that sucker down. You know, you got to run him down, pin him down, eat him, so you're burning some energy. But if you're around a rock and one comes around the corner, you go and smoke him and eat him and just sit there and sulk, they like it better. You know, you think about it, it's a lot less work on them.
Yeah.
And so that, I got to give credit to Doug. He started working that trolling motor, you know, 50 something years ago down here. And it's a lot like bass fishing. It's a very important tool.
He was on the bottom end of the coast using a trolling motor, and I was up here on the top end using it, and people were going,
I remember.
What do y'all think?
What are you
doing? Dance or something? I said, hey, man, don't knock it till you try it.
I wouldn't own a boat without a trolling motor. I mean, I'd rather have a trolling motor than anything, power pole, anything, compass. I'd rather have a trolling motor. I mean, and think about what I, you know, and so the way I fish too is spot on fishing, where the fish are in certain spots and you need to power pole down. You can troll with a trolling motor, double power pole down, hold the boat sideways, hit that spot, and then ease up again and hit the next one. You can really control your drift. If not, you're at the mercy of what's downwind from you. And so with the trolling motor, you can shuffle side to side and hit different spots. So it helps you cover water. You know, that's once you learn how to use it, it's amazing.
Yeah, so. It is. It's a tool that can't live without. Not me anyway.
I know it, you know. I'm seeing all these new Gucci trolling motors, Power Poles making one, and all this cool trolling motor stuff. It's just amazing what they've got now.
I know. Where are we headed?
The trolling motors cost as much as our boats did back in the day, Mickey.
I'm telling you. Isn't it crazy?
$5,000 for a trolling motor. You're like, wow. That's nuts, man. Hey, but I'm going to tell you, so.
Yeah, go ahead.
So Ryan, the guys from CCA, invited me to go release the redfish, the tag redfish, next Friday. So I'm really excited. They invite me every year. So this year I'm going to get to go and release a bunch of tag redfish with the CCA. I'm really excited about that. That's going to be fun, man.
Really? So you'll know where they're released and
that's right.
I'm going to take people to go catch them?
Yeah, no. I'm going to put them all over the place. We're going to put them all away. That's foul play. I'll probably get some trouble over it, but, you know, I ain't fishing for bottom feeders anyway. So,
well,
but if
you're fishing with Cliff Webb, your redfish doesn't count.
Oh, man, that's going to hurt. No, we're going to spread them out all the way from the causeway, all the way back in Alazan, everywhere. So they'll be spread out.
Well, I remember, you know, your buddy next door to you, Wyatt Foster, he caught two tagged reds in one wade that time up here.
I know it.
A few
that's
years
stupid,
back.
Stupid, isn't it? God. Yeah, he's next door, and I got to see those two tags. He got them mounted on the wall there. They're really cool looking, man. And it's just amazing. We caught them before with the tag just 2 or 3 years old. It really hurts. You wipe the slime off, and it's like a 2 year late. Like, God, that's
well, what really hurts is a week after the tournament's over.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. A week after, too. That's the killer, too.
Or if you catch one, I've had it happen twice, catch one, and the person that caught it is not in the tournament.
Not.
And everybody
that's
else
what
in
happened.
The boat is.
Oh. That story hurts. Susan Naismith, 7 months pregnant. I don't know what it was, 1987, whenever they started, it was the beginning. And all three of the guys are in the star, and she's not. And she's dragging a leaping minnow, jumping minnow behind the boat with a trolling motor. And and it just gets smoked. She catches 11.25-pound trout, 32.5. And she's the only one not in the star. And everybody's face is just like they just want to cry. You know, you don't go and lie about things like that. So we got a great picture of her. She made the cover of the Saltwater magazine. I think it was, I don't know what the little paper magazine that Tom Nix had back then, Saltwater Angler or whatever. She made the cover of that thing.
That.
You know,
but
she didn't win the boat and trailer. But the old man was too cheap to buy the $25 deal for her. And boy, did she let him have it. That was good.
Lord have mercy.
But you need to sign up. If you're not in the CCA, you need to. I mean, those guys are great, and man, you could catch one of those fish, you know, you could, and it'd be awful not to spend that money.
Isn't there a guy in Port O'Connor, I think Lynn Smith was telling me about, that has caught her tagged red twice, 1 year, and then he caught it again the next year, and he wasn't signed up? That's
I think I remember that. Yeah,
remember that?
Yeah, yes, I do. That's crazy. But, you know, I didn't realize they released so many, Mickey. I mean, we're going to put out 20-something fish out here.
120 reds, tagged reds, on the inshore waters, Texas coast, you know, from up here to y'all.
Yeah, I think we're going to put out maybe 20 on Sunday, but that's really exciting to do that, you know.
Right.
But, we'll see. That's going to be. Now I'm just wondering how big they are, if they're all the same size or all different sizes.
They're all kind of, they're on the small end of the slot. You know, like 21s, 22s, 23s, that kind of deal.
Yeah, that's the ones I saw in Wyatt. They were kind of like 22,
23.
I don't care how big. They got a tag out their back. I like them. That's awesome.
Oh, you got that right. All right, let me do another break. I'll be right back you. Hang on. All right. Well, Boyd's One Stop, they're the home of the supercharged, super slimy powerhouse croakers. They're located at the base of the Texas City Dyke, right at 227 Dyke Road. And, folks, if you're looking for quality live bait for your next fishing trip, look no further than Boyd's. From their tanks to your live well, that bait's as good as it can possibly be, and there's no better way to live your bait than with their oxygen response system. It works great on tournament fish, too. No tournament boat should be without one. And if you're looking, just go by the store and check them out firsthand. They have them on display and all the different size bottles and regulators, diffusers. You need more info, call Jason at 281-701-8107. When you're by the store, check out all their wild-caught guff seafood. No farm raised at Boyd's. And crawfish season, or right in the middle of it in Boyd's is Crawfish Central. If you're looking to buy them by the sack and cook them yourself, or if you ever want them already pre-cooked or Cajun grill next door to Boyd's, excellent recipe, great quality, so is their Santa Fe location. Call them at 409-945-4001 or check them out at boydsonestop.com. And when you do, please tell them Captain Mickey sent you. Morning. Welcome back to the Outdoor Show. 6:35 here in the Bayou City. All right, Cliff, we're back, man. Time's flying by this morning. It always does when you catch fish. Did we lose him? It says he's there. Well, he must have hit the mute button. Call him back. I think we had that Corpus Christi fadeaway. It happens down there, especially on busy weekends. Something about maybe too many cell phones going off. I don't know. This early in the morning, most people are sleeping. Reasonable people, anyway. Early morning sickos aren't. It's almost lunchtime for us. Anyway, yeah, that's that was cool videos that guy sent me, Jimmy G. I know the feeling. Been there. Bull sharks are. I don't mess with bulls. Or I don't like it when they mess with me. Let's try Cliff again. Cliffy.
All right, bud. I get there dropped all the time, man. No big deal.
That Corpus,
but it's so
Christy
funny because
drop, man.
Well, let me tell you what's happened all week. So our internet's, every time it blows, we don't have service. A lot of my friends having to go to Starbucks to get internet to do their work on the computer. I've lost so many calls. I call people and it doesn't even ring. So when we got bad weather in the island, if you're trying to get a hold of me, please try again, because I'm not calling you. I'm just not getting your message, because it's really bad out here on the island. It's bad. Stupid phone service there. In modern technology, I don't know what's going on, but I have better service in Bath and Bay than I do at my house. It's like, what? You know? Crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. I can see that.
Yeah, but I was sitting there thinking about what was so cool about Magic Monday was the variety of lures we're throwing. So Jimmy pulls out this Tequila Sunrise Corky that's orange and yellow. It looks like a glow plug. It's so bright, and we're fishing pretty clear water. I'm thinking to myself, he ain't going to cast out every cast on that thing. He threw it until it was bent up like bubble gum. He couldn't throw it anymore. You know, it was just stupid how it didn't make any difference, you know, what you threw.
You know,
and I love
water
it
used to get real clear and clean like that up here, you know, especially on the east shoreline of Trinity. Hey, an orange mirror lure was the ticket, buddy. Whether it was a 700
that is so true.
It was just,
what is it about orange and clear water? I stole that Skitter Walk orange, and they smoked that orange. And
pink too,
pink,
man.
Yep. Doug was big on orange and gold. That was his number one topwater jumping minnow. It was that golden orange jumping minnow in the spring. He would just hold them on it, man.
Yep.
God, it was a good bait. But, you know, we tried every Lily. We threw everything you can throw in it. Everything ate it. But you can just – I love it when those fish, when you're in 6 foot of water, and I have a side scanner. So I'm side scanning those rocks. And all those fish were midway up on those rocks, hardly any of them on the bottom.
Amazing.
And so when they're all, you know, and when you're on the, when you see them on the bottom like that, I'll go to the soft plastic. When I see them like that in mid range like that, I'm throwing the suspension baits and they're just smoking them.
Yeah, because they're halfway to the surface anyway. You might as well give them a surface plug to come up and smoke. It's probably easier for them to come up and do that than it is to go down on them.
But you know what's so cool? So you're working the top water on, you see that fish come up behind it 3 foot away and start falling like a shark. You know, it's just stupid.
Oh, yeah.
You know. I mean, you know when you're getting ready to hit, and you stop it, and they just, they suck it down, you know. But that was just amazing to see that stuff, man. God. And one of the guys from Florida, Jeff, he was
a guru. Yeah, I was going to ask you, how did Florida guys do after we left?
Oh, my God. You know, so they've hit it three years in a row.
They did it perfect, didn't they?
No, not perfect. We got her done, but nothing like they're used to. I've had 3 years in a row with those guys in February. And it was Katie Barlador on Big Trout. We caught bunches of Big Trout up to 8 pounds. And so I wise off. I said, hey, man, you ought to come down in May. May's the perfect month. It's not windy. It's really good. Catch a lot of fish on top water. They come down. It's blowing like hell, you know. They drove 17 hours to get here. And we caught fish. I mean, believe me, we caught fish weighed, and they caught reds, Big Trout. They had one trout at like 29 inches. But you know, it was nothing like we expected. It was blowing it in my time. I could never get in this. I wanted to fish them in those rocks, those deep rocks in the middle of the bay with suspension baits and topwater like I did Monday, but we never had a day we'd get there. In fact, we tried to go one day, and there's four of us in a boat, and a wave picked my boat up and slammed me, high center me on a rock.
Ooh,
I mean, like a knock. Oh, man. So we barely got off. I said, let's go. We're out of here. We had to go back to protected water. But, you know, they waited around with at that time, those fish were on in super shallow water, like knee deep on sand. And they were smoking the reds and trout on double Ds, but not like they're normal. We did okay, but not like normal. But this one guy, Jeff, he's a professional bass fisherman and he fishes redfish tournaments. He is a electronic guru. He fine-tuned that machine of mine. Like, he did stuff I didn't know I could do. You know, I'm just I'm the guy that pushes the automatic button. I don't know nothing. But now he's got my side scan where it's more sensitive. And so I'm able to read the bottom. Plus, I'm able to see the fish better. So now my side scanner is really helping me a lot more than it was. Mm-hmm. You know, that side scan is awesome in 6 to 7 foot of water. It's incredible. It allows you to run the trolling motor and scan your surface. And when you got 5 or 6 miles of a bunch of rocks, the first time you go over them with the trolling motor, you drop your trolling motor down and you scan that whole wall of those rocks. Then you look where the concentrations of fish are, and then you work that certain end. And what was so cool that day, these big schools of drum were up on top of the water doing circles. You know how they do? You can see their petrel fins in a circle. And when you go by and scan them, you can tell they're drum because they're in a round ball like this. And the trout, they're like blobs of longer, like a longer bunch of trout. They're, you know, like they'll be like 20 feet of fish suspended in a row. They're not going around in circles. So you can just learn to tell, you know, what's on the side scan and learn how to read it.
Amazing. So,
yeah, I'm learning some of that stuff. It's hard. Yeah, it's hard when you're stupid. But anyway, I got all these young guys to teach me. Thank God, you know.
Yeah, if you want to know anything about how to fine-tune your electronics, just get a 8 or 10 year old.
Get your grandkid out there on it. Yeah, get your grandkids. You know.
Yeah, get your grandkids out there and let them rip.
I know it. If we have a pro, something electronically, my grandson can figure it out.
He's electronically challenged.
I am too, buddy.
I just am. It's not the way we grew up with that kind of technology.
I had to go to school to learn how to run a compass. No. It's not good. It's not good.
Boy Scouts.
You know, no
East
kidding.
And West, baby.
That's it, baby. That's it, man. But, the electronics is just stupid how it's really – and, you know, I don't know how people – I don't know how we did it back in the day without the GPS.
We read the water and still do. I'd still rather read the water than try to read into all that stuff and mess with it.
Yeah.
Looking down at the screen, piddling with that, I may miss a slick popping or, you know, a trout blowing up on a mullet or something.
Exactly. And just like yesterday, you know, I found those fish after we didn't find them the first place. They were slow. The wind's humping, so I got to go somewhere. And I found these fish by thinking, okay, man, this is the middle of May. Where should they be? Well, they hadn't been in this spot in May in 2 years. 3 years ago, they were there. I said, man, they got to come back in there. I go in there, and I pull them in. The first thing I see is those gidgers shad do that little jump, you know, come across the water. You know, then I start seeing mullet in there, and I said, man, there's a lot of little shrimp in here. The bait's here. They got to be here. Then, you know, when I piled Barry and Greg out there, they were smoking them, you know, so.
Right.
And so, you know, it was so funny because they were up shallower, Mickey. They were about maybe knee-deep water. And we were out a little farther in probably pocket-deep water. The size of fish difference was stupid. We were catching, you know, up to 24 inches. They were catching them bigger out there on top water in that shallower water. Just goes to show you those bigger predators want to pin that bait down in that shallow water. They want to chase it and eat it.
That's easier to catch for them.
Yes, it is. It is. You know, and I wonder if those fish, like when you have a drop-off deep like that, are they eating and going up there and pulling back? Or are they staying up there until they totally eat? Or they come back? And you just kind of wonder because we're catching them all depths. Are the big ones staying up there all day and we're not catching them? Or have they pulled off in the deep? You know?
Good question.
Yeah, you wonder. I guess the burn boat. But that's what's so cool. There's hardly any burn boats right now because the water's been so stirred up in the wind. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just kind of nice. But I think that's getting ready to change. I think we're getting ready to get a lot more of that burn boat stuff.
Well, burn boats, they definitely bust the schools up. I mean, you can see that with just normal traffic, even in deep water. You know, if a,
you know, yeah, I was talking to Wyatt.
It's totally covered with fish, and it's been relaxed and settled for a long time, and you're the only boat kind of messing with those fish. But when all the other boats show up, it just scatters them. You know, they don't gang up like they normally would.
Yeah. I talked to Wyatt and those guys that fish a lot of tournaments and black whales and stuff, and they said that the fish is so different now, how a lot of the fish are not in super shallow water now. They're in 4 or 5 foot of water, getting away from the berm boats out there in the
deeper water.
They're safer. Yeah. Yep. Definitely.
They
definitely
feel more safe and comfortable in deeper mm-hmm. water, and it too much of a good thing. It'll change the pattern on fish. It'll push them out mm-hmm. deep, and they'll live out there instead of coming in shallow where they'd like to live, but the pressure's too vast, you know.
Yeah, I think that's exactly what's happening, Mickey. I think we're so lucky to have structured the fish can get away from everybody. You know, you take about this dolphin predator, you hardly ever see those dolphin in heavy structure rocks because they get scratched up. They're trying to chase a trout around those rocks. They'll get their sides cut because the rocks are so tight.
Left things are like razor blades, man.
Yes, and so I think that really protects a lot of our fish are able to get up there in that real heavy structure. And boy, you talk about tearing up some equipment. Get up there in those rocks with your collimator and everything. Your boat's going to get banged around. You're going to break a few shafts. I broke a pole on the power pole today. Just I eased it down and just happened to hit a rock and snap. It broke the whole thing off.
Oh,
you know? So
man,
I get a lot. I mean, I break stuff all the time, but I got to go where they are. I got to get in there, man.
That's it.
I've been doing that all my life. You know, I've been fishing that stuff all my life, and I'm not going to stop. You know, it's just nuts.
Man,
it's pretty crazy. But I was so bummed that you guys missed it. But I said, you and John, you guys missed it by a week, and you just never know. You know, well, of course, you missed the one day.
I know.
You know, I think it's supposed to blow all next week, Mickey.
I know.
You know, what is going on here?
You tell me, buddy. I mean,
I don't know.
It is a weird pattern.
Yeah, it's just normally, I always tell everybody by April 15th, Doug's deal. Well, it ain't happened this year. Maybe June 15th.
Yeah.
You know?
Well,
what was your prediction? June the 6th? That was
June
what you.
June 6th. I'm throwing it out there. Yeah, I'm going with June 6th. I'm being super optimistic.
God, I hope it happens. You know, we got tons of fish in the Gulf of America right now because Greg caught some 5-pounders the other day. The only day it was clear. That I think it was that Monday and Sunday when it was real calm. They smoked them in the surf. I bet you guys did too down there.
Yeah, we had. Well, it just depended on where you were at. A lot of people didn't catch them. You know, that's surf fishing though. Those fish move up down that beach. You just gotta hit it right. And if you're able to drive the beach and look for the signs, you know, slicks and nervous bait fish and all that, and piles of mullet, then you're going to have good success. But just to walk out there and hope for the best and hope a school comes through, I mean, that's basically what you're doing in the surf. That's a lot of water to fish.
I know it. And that's what a lot of people do. They fish spots. Like you'll catch them in one spot in the surf. You think, well, they're going to be there every time. No, they're not. That school moved through that spot on that structure they like.
Well, the problem with the surf is there's just not a lot of structure-oriented areas to hold fish.
Yes, yes, yes. And the structure changes.
They're constantly on the prowl, you know, chasing bait.
Yes, exactly. Exactly right. If you think about it, if you're a trout, you better not stop in the surf. You get eaten.
You will.
I mean, you better keep swimming. You better be looking over your shoulder to the guy in the gray
suit.
I'm
getting that way for white fishermen up here. You better.
I know. And after hearing that story,
eat you when you stand still.
Oh no! I would like to see that
those
video.
Videos, I'll text them to you that Jimmy G sent me.
I got to see that bull shark bait. That's something I don't deal with.
Big
thank
old
God.
Wide headed, big nasty bull, man. That's an ankle biter. Bite it all.
Does anybody fish for him up there? Does anybody catch him and get him out of there or anything?
Sharky does, all his gang, you know, out at the jetties. They need to come on up in the bay and thin some of these out.
No kid.
We do have a shark problem now. We really do. Bull reds and sharks, they're out of hand.
You have a big shark tournament, you know.
Yeah.
Bring them in dead. No.
You only kill one a day. One a day.
Yeah. One a day, but at least get everybody get some out there. You might save somebody's life, you know. It seemed like every year somebody on the coast, just like that shark in South Pottery a couple of years ago, that
remember
the same
that one shark
attacked
had bit several people, didn't it?
Several people, and I don't know if they ever got that shark out of there. He's going to be back this year, you know.
Boy,
I think that was pretty wild.
I saw a couple of those videos. That one girl that got attacked, and I mean that was
was unbelievable that those people saved her life like that. Golly.
Yeah.
Oh man,
Remember years ago they had the video of that bull shark that bit that kid's arm off or whatever, and his dad went out there and beat up the shark and took the arm back, and I think they sewed it on and saved it or something.
Oh, remember yeah, that? I heard about that. I didn't see how that was
in
nuts.
Florida or somewhere. That was crazy.
That guy's bad to the bone. Taking
my son's arm. there, barehanded the shark.
Oh, man. Well, you know, that's what's so weird about what you got up there is the bull shark. So it's not tigers, it's not black tip, it's bull shark. That's what's mostly in the bay.
Oh, we got black tips out the gazoo, but
really?
Bull and tigers too. Now, I saw something about a week ago where a kid on an overnight or a 36-hour charter boat or whatever caught a 880-something-pound tiger shark. It's like 13 and a half feet long or something out of Port Aransas.
Oh, they catch some monsters. They catch
kid.
Them. Oh, yeah. They catch them down in big shells on the beach. And you see those videos at night where they're pulling these giant sharks up on the beach and they're prying their mouth. They're sitting on their back and they're holding their mouth open, getting a, you know. Man, I don't know about that. I don't know if I want to sit on the back of a tiger shark, you know, and pull his mouth open with his nose. Those guys are animals, man.
They are.
I guess it's like holding the snake behind the head, you know.
I guess so. If you mess with them enough, you're going to get bit.
Oh, yeah. If I catch one, I'm cutting the leader off and letting him swim off with that hook, probably, you know, unless I can get it out. But I try not to catch him, Mickey. I don't know about you, but I try to avoid him at all costs, you know.
Yeah, I'm with you. They can have my hook. He'll get rid of it.
They'll eat topwater in the surf. Away. Big time. Yeah, That's what goes on here. We get them on top water trying to fish for surf and trying to catch for the trout in the surf. It's nuts.
Yeah, those little black tips, them 3 and 4 foot black tips, they go crazy over top waters, just like jackfish.
Oh, man. And speaking of jackfish.
I said, yeah, do you see that fin and that tail on that fish? That's wasn't what you're looking for there, Ace.
Oh, we saw some blow-ups the other day. We didn't know what it was. We went over to some giant jackfish and a whole school of jackfish right in the middle of Baffin. And they were blowing them muddled out of the water. I'm thinking, maybe it's tarpon. Nope, we saw them big old scissor tails, big old yellow scissor tails ripping through the water. I said, do not throw over there. I said, do not throw over there. Do not throw your lure in there. We'll be here all day. We just put it off and let them smoke those. I guess they're on a school of mullet. But you could hear them for 200 yards crashing that stuff. You know, that was cool.
Boy, when they go to work on mullet, man, that's you know, they do that all around you while you're waiting, and you're just kind of bent over going, hope you don't get hit in the groin area about a 25-pound jack trying to eat a mullet, man. That's
oh, my God. I saw a video of them jumping out of the water trying to get birds. You see that video where they're jumping trying to get those cormorants with those big jacks? Yeah, they're somewhere in Florida in the I guess it's the cormorant, so I'm jumping. This jackfish jumps out of the water and tries to grab him in the air. I said, that's amazing, you know. I had no idea they're that aggressive, but they are evidently a 40, 50-pound jack is pretty aggressive.
I wish I'd have had my phone going yesterday. You know, I feed birds. I like to sit out on the patio in the evenings and watch all the cardinals and blue jays and all that and dove. And, man, out of the corner of my eye, caught some movement in a peregrine falcon come crashing in through the trees with those wings folded back, and I've got like a little glass top patio table under a oak tree that I've just spread bird food out on by the around the feeders and everything that are hanging there, and those birds like to sit on that table. Hey, he's done figured it out. He comes swooping through there, and there was this big old fat mourning dove sitting on there eating seed. And when he hit that thing, it looked like a pillow blew up. All the feathers went everywhere, and he just kept on going with the dove in his talons.
Yeah, it's amazing how hard they hit stuff. They hit a duck in the midair and just, it's so, they hit them and then they reach down and bite their neck while they're spinning them around, you know, and just, it's amazing. But, yeah, I've got to see them a few times. Pretty cool.
Yeah.
That is a bad bone bird. Yeah.
That's why we're outdoors, people.
I know it, buddy. I wouldn't want to miss that. Better than watching Judge Judy, let me tell you.
Yeah. Anything's better than that to me.
Good stuff, yeah. Good
stuff. No offense, Judge Judy.
No offense. I don't want her mad at me. That's for sure, man.
Did you see what that woman makes a year? It's an unbelievable amount of money for 30 days of shows, of taping.
Wow.
She does all of her shows in like 30 days, and it's millions of dollars. It's unbelievable.
God. I don't think we're mean enough. I guess we need to get meaner. We'd make more money. I don't guess a job like that.
I'd just book you for the whole year. Buy me a house down there.
It's good stuff, man.
All right, buddy. Yeah. Well, hey, Cliff, it was fun. I'm glad you had a good week, man. That's good to hear.
Yeah, I was super good, man.
Well, you deserve it. You work hard at it. Somebody wants to call you about coming down and do some bowing up, man.
Yeah, that's good, man. All right, Mickey, I'm in area code 361-949-0707. Appreciate having me on, Mickey. Have a good weekend, buddy.
Anytime. It's always fun. See you, Cliff.
All right, man.
Later, man. All right, unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today's show. We'll be back in the morning bright and early, 4 a.m. right here at Sports Radio 610 KILT Houston.